squawk box down here in the car, so you don't have to listen to my music. Oh, the fire department's got their snorkel truck up in the air down here. Well, how you doing this morning?
Just sitting here at my desk with three different radios going, so trying to set up my logbook in QRZ and give some people some contacts and confirmations.
Well, now I'll give you Tom's tip of the day. I've tried different things. The best I've run into is the N3FJP logging program. It's like falling off a log. It's great. It's $50. It lasts forever. All the updates are free. And from there, you can send it up to Logbook of the World or EQSL. I highly recommend Logbook of the World, but you have to belong to the ARRL QST, which is really too high. It's like $40 a year or something like that. I don't know. I renewed mine here a while back. It's kind of like the NRA. It's gotten ridiculous. So you have to bite the bullet there, but once you're into it, if you have that N3FJP, you can just click on a little icon there and send it up to Logbook of the World. Makes you eligible for all the different awards and stuff like that if you're interested in it, and you may not be. But I just thought I'd pass that information down the line.
It's the information. I actually just joined ARRL this week. So I'm trying to get all my little ducks in a row so I can have everything I need. But it's seems like it is a nickel and dime you to death to join everything and all that. But in the end, I guess it's worth it. So I'm going to keep pushing forward.
KP4CPA.
Well, there's the tightest person on earth. He won't join the ARRL. I gotta gouge him at least once a day. Good morning, Dave.
And that's one. Yeah, well, you know, I guess I'm gonna have to break down and join, so I haven't joined the NRA either. I just, you know, I don't know. But anyway, so here I am, headed to tennis again.
Bernice doing, Tom, with her eyes.
Well, except for that one black eye, you know, when she sassed me, she's doing great. Teeth home in a doggy bag, so better pass on that. Well, I'm taking her down to the phlebotomist. Figure that one out, Dave.
Whether or not.
You know?
Is it blood work?
See? Dave thought it was something ornery. It's the people that draw the blood, I think. But I wouldn't bet on that because I front hooked on the phonics.
You said pathologist?
No, she's not that far along yet, Dave.
She is, that's where they draw your blood.
Negative. That's where they send in your organs and that to be looked at.
Okay, well, I mean, I've been, well, never mind. I thought that was the morgue. But anyway, moving right along here. Who adults are you talking to there? I don't recognize the voice.
Well, shame on you. That's Bill down in Hartwell. And Bill, how do you like that? He's the one with the master's degree.
Got two PhDs. One is fiberglass and one is wood. Post hole diggers, that is.
Yeah, I got two of those.
Well, I got one for being a Rhodes Scholar because I used to have a CDL.
No, I want one of those.
I'm back in here with my truck. I think we're going to go buy some dirt after she gets out of here and gets her blood drawn. But you know, that's the people that draw the blood or phlebotomists or vampires, something like that, unless somebody corrects me. You know, I don't mind that. But you can ask her if she's a phlebotomist, Bernice, when she goes in. And we're down here at Dr. Lawrence's office at Mountain View Medicine or whatever. And I think we're going to go to Home Depot only because there will be a massive crowd there, and I think their dirt's easier to load out there. When we get it on a cart, Bill, we can't hardly push it up the hill to get it to the cash register.
Hey, Bernice, I'm praying for you. I haven't put up with Tom.
She's already gone. I don't know if I'm doing any good, Dave. Go ahead, Bill.
Too much dirt to push it up the hill. You need two carts.
Well, I just can't lift much. Bernice is prohibited from it because she just had that cataract laser surgery. And this time she saw the laser. I told her, watch for it. And she actually saw it come down going across your eye. And then she saw that probe that went into her eye. And I think that's an ultrasound probe, and they shatter that cataract, and then they suck it out with the same probe.
Not sure there. The only laser eye surgery I had was just to correct my vision, and I remember saying, keep your eyes focused on the green, and then you can see the red laser, or vice versa, one doing the work, and that was quite an adventure. But it worked well, but it only lasted about 10 years for me and put me back in glasses, so I decided not to do it again.
Well, I've never heard of anybody having it done and having to have it, and having it get back the glasses. That's interesting, Bill. By the way, you got a good signal up here as usual.
The signal report, and I had the first laser surgery when I was about 38, and then right before I turned 50, I got to where I couldn't see the computer good, so now I'm wearing trifocals.
Well, Bill, I'm not overly surprised. The technology has changed immensely. I know when I first looked into it, which I couldn't afford anyways, they said it wasn't correctable because I had an astigmatism. Our daughter had it done in Canada years ago when she worked in Detroit, and that was only because it was, at the time, one of the best centers around. And I think it was $5,000, and she used her bonus or something that year up there at Toyota to pay for it. And she still don't wear glasses. Everything's perfect. And that's been quite a number of years ago. But she's getting up towards 50 now. And I had it done, and I just don't give a darn because I'll probably be gone in 10 years or so. And mine's working out fine. Now, I did have to go back. Let me drop this. Send your old TR mobile. I had to go back a year later and go into this one little office there, Clem's and I, and he took a laser and he took off 2 microns, I think he said was the thickness of this little film that had formed on there. And he says sometimes, not often, but sometimes after the laser surgery, and they call it a femto laser now. And he said sometimes they'll cloud up just a little bit. And it took him all of 30 seconds to a minute for each eye. And I had to do one month and one the next month, and Medicare paid for it. And, boy, I don't even have to use the reading glasses now. I do occasionally if it's very, very teeny tiny, only because they're reading in computer glasses that I had, and I'll snap them on if it's teeny tiny. But other than that, I got 20/20 vision, and that did occur with mine. But I've heard of people having problems from the earlier type laser, and there was another one where they made a lot of cuts in your eye. I can't think. Radiokeratotomy. That didn't work out so well either. Go ahead, Dave.
Right, it was super expensive, and it's come way down where it's almost affordable for anybody. But and I'm sure they've made some strides in how they do it, or you know. I don't know exactly how to say that, but, you know, so anyway, because they're always improving on stuff like that, and, but I don't even wear glasses. I mean, for distance, I wear them to read, and, you know, I can put up with that. It doesn't bother me. KP4 CPA.
My wife had laser eye surgery back in the late 90s when it was first coming out, and they actually put what looked like a wood plane and used it to create the flap and then did the laser. When I had mine about 10 years later, they used a laser to cut the flap and then another laser to actually take the material off, but hers has lasted since she had it. Mine just didn't take for some reason.
Heard that. I've heard people that had it done and it really didn't help them. So you know, it's really you just, and with your eyes, you know, you only got two of them, and if they mess it up, then, you know, that's not good. So, unless I just have a total catastrophe with my eyes, I think I'll just sleep like they are.
You have to really consider what you're doing when it comes to your eyes. I'm still pleased with the result. Wish it had lasted longer, but I understand that things change. So it may be related. I'm diabetic, and I think that had something to do with my vision changing. But anyway, I'm glad that Bernice is doing better, Tom, and hopefully y'all can get some yard work done while this little cool weather spell lasts.
You are. Well, the big problem is I can't lift much, and she can't lift for, how long did they tell you, Bernice? She has to look, because she's already been violating her parole and lifting some, but she's watching it. But I say she's on parole for eye surgery. But we're going to try to take care of not violate that. Anyways, we're on the road again. Yeah, I see a lot of these cut rate places on TV advertising, and then there's the high-end places like Clem's and I and that, and they're about $3,500 an eye. So it's not anything to sneeze at, I can tell you that. And the Medicare will pay for standard cataract surgery. but it won't pay for a lot of what Clemson Eye does.
And, I had it done at Blue Laser Group out of Athens, Georgia, and it was $4,000. It was $2,000 an eye, and we were able to use a medical spending account, so at least we got it pre-tax, but yeah, it was all out of pocket for that.
Hey, gentlemen, let me see if I have it here. I'm gonna jump out, and I'm at the sports club, and I'm gonna get inside and get warmed up so I can hopefully I can hit this little yellow ball with some sense of accuracy. But anyway, enjoyed the QSO. Y'all carry on, and I hope you both have a good day. And Beatrice, if you're in the car now, I said earlier I'm praying for you, having to put up with Tom. But anyway, 73s to all. And I'll talk to you later, KB4CBA.
Beatrice, you made her laugh at that instead of Bernice.
Hi, Dave. And hi, Bill.
And I was correct, Dave. She asked the lady drawing the blood, and she's the phlebotomist, and the pathologist, she said, is to do with the skin. But, like, any time you have gallbladder surgery or something taken out or something like that, or a colonoscopy, they'll send the polyps or whatever to pathology, and they examine it. And so the lady said it's to do with the skin. But they're the ones that do the examinations of your stuff after surgery, and then it's not nothing to do with the going to the morgue or anything like that. He's the coroner. Anyways, see you later, Dave. Have a good game. Go ahead, Bill.
Everything worked out, and glad y'all are back on the road again. I tell you, Tom, you ought to look at this DMR. I've been tickled with it. I talked to Australia last night, talked to Saudi Arabia this morning. It's interesting. Like I said, it's not like working, you know, HF, but it's a different kind of experience.
Very similar to HF, and I think that's great. You make a lot of new friends. You'd be surprised how many people in the Greer Amateur Radio Club. Like one guy right now, he just had a heart attack, unfortunately. He's a really nice fella. I can't remember his name right offhand. But he has a home in England. Another one has a home in Germany. Another one has been back in Japan for several months. And he's a great guy to talk to and really funny. And so he talks back over here all the time and probably uses the DMR. And there's some great gentlemen in that Greer Amateur Radio Club.
It's a emerging technology, and I was looking at some stats last night, as much as I can believe what I read on the internet, but they said there's only just under 5,000 amateur radio repeaters, and is up to almost 200,000 registered users, so there's a lot of people with hotspots doing just like me and getting out, reaching around the world with them. Not to say that you can't do it not the old way, but the current way with HF. But this, I guess this is like pressing the easy button for it.
This is N0TR Mobile. Well, I'll tell you what, Bill. Right now, you cannot use HF reliably, like for schedules and that with people, because there's sunspots are not there, as we talked about. And you can with your digital DMR. So I think that's great. I really do. I like that much more than things like FT8, where you can have a personal experience by really talking to an individual. And there's certainly nothing wrong with that in my book. And it's pretty fascinating. Bill, we're just about here. So I got to cut out. Maybe I'll catch you in a little bit. I got to look for Dills Avenue or something down here, because I'm coming in the back way. 73's Bill. This is N0TR. Be clear on your final.
You have a great day, Bernice. You have a wonderful day, and hope you get to seeing clear as a bell just very soon. I'll be saying a prayer for you. Y'all have a great day. 73's. This is M4WHM clear.
Hey, Bill. Just wanted to say hello to Tom, too. Hope everything goes well. You guys have a good day. Bill, are you working today, or are you off again?
Thanks, Jerry. I'm just pulling in Home Depot's parking lot. You know how parking lots are. Catch you later in 0TR.
Jerry, I'm supposed to be leaving to go on a camping trip, but it's sort of up in the air right now. We had planned on leaving after lunch to go to Alabama to take a class, but the guy I was going with is had some stomach issues, and he wasn't sure if it was food poisoning or a virus, so we're kind of waiting out to see what's going on there before we decide to drive all the way to Alabama.
I remember you telling me about that the other day. Heard you, Patrick, check in the net last night. Patrick had a really good signal there compared to what I've been hearing. I don't know whether he got that new radio and was working through it or not. Do you know what? You know if he got everything in?
I know he said he had planned on it being there, but I hadn't heard from him. I heard him on the radio this morning, but didn't get a chance to call for him before he got gone. But the radios are top notch. When I've got mine hooked up to an external antenna, I've been able to hit the Grenville repeater just clear as a bell on 5 watts.
And either regular FM or DMR on those rigs.
UHF, VHF, and DMR, and you can load them with the contacts. The current ones hold 200,000 contacts. The new ones that just come out, you can pre-order, hold 500,000 contacts. And that way, when somebody's talking on DMR, you actually see their name, location, and a brief bit of information that's on the screen while they're talking, so you know who you're talking to. It's pretty interesting. M4WHMID.
They're D-Star, you know who they are and where they're located as well. They actually have, you can get the GPS coordinates on most of them, I think, and work that way. It's kind of like the same way with APRS, which does exactly the same thing, but just uses digital packets. And the ISS went over this morning about a little bit before 10 o'clock, and I was decoding some packets off it. It's pretty busy right now. It's going to go off, I think, tomorrow about 1600 Zulu I think Soyuz is docking with them sometime over the course of the weekend. I think it'll be back up maybe Sunday or Monday. When they turn the digipeater off for a while, it may come back on as a APRS, or may come back on his voice. I don't know yet. They haven't said that for sure yet. Anyway, it's interesting. All these digital modes are just more interesting to me. I learn something new just about every day when I'm listening to some of these satellites. You know, they're just dozens of them up there still that are, some of them not very active, but there's still a lot of them up there. So if you don't want to transmit, it's interesting to listen to them anyway.
M4DJC. The digital capability is what drew me in into the DMR, and I bought the Bridgecom Intertone 878 radio and got it set up. I can actually hit the Anderson repeater from here in Hartwell on it and get the Carolina DMRs. And I bought a hotspot back last November. It's one of the cheap Chinese hotspots, and I pulled it out of the box and put it together and never set it up. And then literally last weekend, I decided to set it up, and I watched two or three YouTube videos and actually got it set up in short time after I watched the videos. It's a little quirky, but there's step-by-step instructions to do it.
It took me a little time to figure out how to get it linked to my Wi-Fi to anything. Some of them don't want to have, that I finally figured out, some of them don't have spaces in the Wi-Fi SSID. And when I put an underscore in there between instead of spaces, blank spaces, it hooked up fine then. And I just had to remember too that, with a 1x3 call, you still had to put, a lot of them show the, just one space after the, we put the B or G in for the hotspot, and of course with the 1x3 you got to put two. It always resides in the 8th position on the for the B and for the gateway for the regular repeater set up in the gateway repeater as well. It's been a while to figure it out. Then I reflashed the card again and updated it. It's been working real good since then. That I get. I run about half a watt or watt out, and I have the zoom slot downstairs. Mine stays lighted up all the time when I have it on. Plus, it's got a little display on it that shows me who's calling and the location, that sort of thing on it as well.
It's called a jumbo spot. Why I don't know, because it's only about size of two packs of chewing gum, but it's got a little LED screen that shows it's connected, and then when you're talking it switches screens and gives you, like I said, the sort of the basic information that you get on the radio screen too. And it's also got a dashboard you can run on the PC, and you can see all the traffic coming in on whichever talk group you're on. I've been sort of watching the worldwide talk group because it's so active, and it's really interesting. Like I was saying, I talked to Australia, Brazil, Germany, England, Saudi Arabia, all since yesterday. So it's quite the interesting experience.
Another tool in the bag. It's the same over diesel tower. You got two major reflectors. You got one Charlie and 30 Charlie, and those two are really busy worldwide. I talked to a guy in Korea the other day, as a matter of fact, and the neat thing about conditions, like Tom was saying earlier, is the way the HF bands have been in the past several years. It's just another tool, and it's popular because of that. I mean, it's interesting to be able to talk to somebody in another country on a handheld. You're still using RF. It's not like the dongles or anything like that. Now, the one I've got is a little bigger than that, Bill. It's got a fairly decent size screen on it. It's a 3.5-inch display on it. It displays several things, the call sign, the country, name, and that sort of thing. And then you can get on the dashboard, five-star dashboard, just like you can with other ones. And see who's calling. I did the same thing. I just have it on my tablet downstairs. If I see somebody and I'm interested in it, I'll jump upstairs and get on it. But I ought to have my DC-4 up and running pretty soon here, and I'll be able to connect it up that way too. That way I can have a handheld ready, at the ready for the hotspot, and also for my APRS satellite stuff too.
Yeah, that's That's good stuff. The being able to use the handheld, like I said, it's to use low power, you know, 1 watt, and this handheld I've got has got a 3100 milliamp battery, and I've been sort of playing with it to see how it runs, and I can leave it on all day, letting it receive, and then, you know, a little transmission, but I've been able to go 3+ days with a single charge, so it's a lot less battery pull doing the DMR.
I think the Kenwood goes down to 500 milliwatts, maybe something like that, so transmit, it's got extra low power. That's what you run for the hot spot, but then I don't have to run 5 watts on the APRS for space station. But yeah, you only use that. That's just maybe a half a dozen transmits per pass, if that much. Because most of the time you're just receiving decode packets from other stations. It's not a high usage thing. I think it's got maybe 1800 milliamp. It's not a real huge battery. Of course, on that one, it's got an internal GPS. I usually just set up my location here at the house and just run it with the home location. That way, the GPS is not sucking up battery power either.
Yeah, I've got GPS on this Antone 878 handheld, but I keep it turned off just because of battery drainage. But the it's got the GPS capability, and I've got my coordinates set in the software, so. But you can, you know, take it mobile, and I'm going to play here in a little bit. I'm charging my Verizon hotspot, and I'm going to hook to it and make sure I can connect, and if I can, I'm going to carry it camping with me and maybe make some contacts overnight while I'm supposed to be sleeping, but I'll try it.
I think I know, there are several people I know that use like an iPhone as a tether to the hotspots. I don't know how difficult that is to do. It doesn't appear to be really difficult, but it's not as easy as connecting up to regular Wi-Fi, I don't think. But I hadn't attempted to do that yet because I don't have that much of a data plan. But anyway, that's a good talking to you, and maybe we'll hear Patrick on here about his new radio and hotspot and so forth. Maybe on this late on this afternoon. I know I got a lens downstairs, and we're gonna run out to come go down to Lowe's, do a little snooping around down there. We got some light fixtures we need to replace, so we're gonna be choosing some of those things to do that pretty soon, I hope. And I don't like this. We got stuff, we're trying to replace all the older stuff in the house, get some updated higher energy efficient stuff. Well, listen, Bill, talk to you later. Say hello to everybody in the hall when you see them. M4DJC, I'll be clear after you.
It was good to talk to you. And, James, sorry. Great to talk to you. And y'all have a great day. Don't spend too much money at Lowe's. That just means you'll have to work harder when you get home. So, but great to talk to you. Hope you have a great day, and like I said, I'm looking forward to hearing from Patrick as well to see how he's going, and if I can, I'll see if I can help him out, because I can send him copies of my code plug, and he can put it right in and get things running, so we'll check with him later today. This is M4WHM. I'm clear.